No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, coming to you from Hoover, Alabama. What a great night it was for baseball for Mississippi State. We're going to break down the game. I'm going to tell you now, we're not going to go as long today because I want to get back out to the ballpark. It's a lot of fun being here. If you've never attended the SEC tournament, let me encourage you to do so. And if you have the financial wherewithal, kind of get the all-access pass where you can watch all sessions and watch all these teams you're unfamiliar with or maybe teams you've never seen in person, it is worth it. It's a great vacation. It's a good way to get the kids out of the house and do something super cool. And you can see your kids on TV out there chasing foul balls out there on the hills. So incredible night, one that many of us will probably never forget, or it'll be a long time before we do. And an absolutely amazing pitching performance from both pitchers. And one of the things that I mentioned yesterday as I made the radio rounds is that I thought it really benefited Mississippi State to play Ole Miss in this game because of the fact, you know, hey, we've got nobody on the active roster that has ever played for Mississippi State in a postseason game of any kind. Let that sink in for a second. You know, we won that 2021 NAFL championship. That was a roster filled with experience. This one doesn't have any. And so I think playing Ole Miss enabled State to kind of lock in a little bit. Because, hey, you know, we've already played them in Oxford, and we played them in Pearl, you know, another minor league ballpark, neutral site game. So there's a point of reference there you can kind of push from. You can kind of set your back foot and not really give ground. And so I thought the early matchup, not just because it's a 5-versus-12 game, but because of the fact that it is a team that you are incredibly familiar with. And so as a result, you know their tendencies. They may know yours as well. And I think that really showed last night when you looked at the final score. But because it was a familiar opponent, I think it helped State kind of, you know, stick their toe in the water and not be intimidated by playing in this ballpark really for the first time for many of them. We played back here. The last time Mississippi State played in Hoover was the 2022 season. We came over here and lost to Samford. You may remember we gave up 2 grand slams in that ball game. And for me, that was the low point in the season. It really was. That was not a good Samford team. And in many respects, that was just, I remember I was getting ready to go to Samford and people were like, Steve, why bother? Well, Mississippi State's playing. That's the gig. You know, that's the job. I cover Mississippi State. Baseball and football are my primary sports. And so as a result, I got to go to games. And it's not that I have to go. I want to go to games. And fortunately, I work for an organization that affords me the opportunity to travel as extensively as I do when so many others either can't or won't. But all of that understood, coming over here to Hoover is a very magical experience, and to see the Bulldogs do well is a good thing. So no top 10 list today. We're going to break down the game. We're going to talk about what it means. We're kind of going to review yesterday, preview today, and kind of talk about where things stand hosting-wise. So we're going to be incredibly efficient today. Again, no top 10, so we'll give Roy the day off as Kentucky LSU just taking a 1-0 lead over Kentucky. We'll talk about what that means and kind of what your rooting interests are for today. But before we get into that, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show, and one of the most dependable places that I know as far as where I want to do business. When I go put my feet under their table, I know exactly what I'm getting. I'm getting consistency in service, consistency in food quality, consistency in atmosphere, consistency in pricing. There is integrity in everything that they do. I'm so proud to partner with Bulldog Burger Company. It is my chosen lunch spot, and it was before they were even sponsors of this show. Absolutely love it. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, find a great restaurant quality hamburger that works for you. Maybe it's the Smokehouse. Maybe it's Pimentology. Maybe it's the Mission. When I get the Mission, I get the Pico de Gallo on the side. Maybe it's the Good Morning Burger and then get that chocolate shake to go. I'm a big advocate for dessert to go. I really am, because you never know when you're going to need a palate cleanser. And you get home, it's like, you know, wish I had something sweet. Well, rather than just go grab a little Debbie cake, why don't you have that bread pudding kind of stored away in the fridge, just kind of eagerly awaiting your arrival? Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's break down this game. There's not a lot of highlights, obviously, if you are a fan of offense. There's really no question about that. But, you know, it's one of these games, too. If you are a baseball purist, you love last night. You love last night because every pitch mattered. We've had some games like that. We talk about how exhilarating those games are, where you get all wound up in it, you get emotionally invested, and it's like, is this the at bat? Is this the inning when you break through? And then ultimately you do. Now, it's very, very, very disconcerting when you wait and wait and wait and be patient, and then you don't come through. You don't have somebody step up and get you a big swing. And there were a couple big swings in this ball game. The good thing for Mississippi State is their big swing came last, and with a runner on, that proved to be the difference. Yeah. I mean, it's that simple, right? So here we go, Brooks Augerman. What can we say about him? And really, Riley Maddox, too. Riley went 7 innings, and you know, Brooks went 8. I wasn't expecting that from Brooks. I'm just going to kind of lay it out there to you. I thought, hey, if we get 5 innings from Brooks and we're still in the ballgame, he's done his job. He went over and beyond and put together a legendary performance in what has proven to be a game for the ages in many respects. And some would say, but Steve, it's not a great Ole Miss team. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Anytime that you beat Ole Miss is a big deal. It is. And it's the same for them. When they beat us, they celebrate. It's a big deal. But, you know, we talked about how nice it would be to play those guys in Hoover and end their season. And some people would suggest perhaps the Mike Bianco era. I'm told that the talk around Hoover is that Mike is back for another year. That's a talk here. Now, of course, Keith Carter and the powers that be in Oxford will ultimately make that decision themselves. But the chatter around here is that Bianco is going to be back next year. So we'll see. All right, bottom of first. Excuse me. I guess we should start at the top of the first. How about that? I'm out of my studio, so I'm out of sorts. All right, so Hill flies out to center, and we don't have a ton of I guess we could pull it up the other way. Let's do that. I don't want to just sit here and just kind of give you the Reader's Digest version. But, Hill goes down 0-2 in this count, and he flies out to center. Actually hit that ball pretty well. And that's one of those things you look at and say, that's not ideal, to see a guy, kind of get around on one early. But Brooks is like, hey, don't worry, I got you, right? So Fisher strikes out swinging and Ross strikes out looking. So two Ks there in the first inning for Brooks in a 1-2-3 inning. Bottom of first, it was really kind of more the same, right? Maddox kind of matching Auger here. Chance strikes out swinging, Mershon strikes out swinging, and we have got to get David going. And then DJ flies out to right field. Actually hit that ball pretty well. DJ barreled some balls up last night. Just didn't have much to show for it. So that the inning ends with both pitchers recording strikeouts and a flyout. All right, top of second, Furness grounds out to the shortstop. Then Groff strikes out swinging. And State just simply has his number. Hughes flies out to left. So very pitch efficient inning here. It's like you look up and it's like, hey, it's a 1-2-3 inning. You're talking, 7 pitches here. That dog hunt. All right, bottom of the second, Hines reaches on a throwing error. And so then Hizak strikes out swinging, and then Larry grounds into a double play. And those are things you think about. It's like, you know, we make them, we force an error here. And Hines isn't the fleetest of foot, but he hit this ball pretty well. And the throw to first kind of goes off the glove of the first baseman. It's a bang-bang play. But we don't make them pay for it. You're just two pitches later, we're out of the inning. And so it's scoreless as we head to three here. Odermark had the home run off Pico and Pearl. Really kind of a fluky thing. I mean, off the bat, it looked like it was just going to be a routine fly ball. And it just kept carrying and carrying and carrying. That's not going to happen at Hoover. He strikes out swinging on four pitches. Randall then strikes out swinging. And then Birch strikes out swinging. And at this point, I think we realized that this Brooks Auger kid was locked in, right? When he is getting, and we're talking three-pitch strikeouts. It's not like he's up there just wasting a bunch of pitches that are chasing a bunch of things out of the zone. This guy's just pounding the zone and saying, you know what, I got a big ballpark behind me, and I got one of the top defensive teams in the country with their gloves on, and so I'm going to pound the zone. And if you hit it, they're either going to get it for me, or you're going to hit it and get on base, but I'm not going to sit here and nibble. And I love when pitchers come out and attack hitters. And I don't know, to be honest with you, and this is saying a lot, considering some of the pitching performances we've had this year, I don't know if we've had anybody come out and attack hitters the way that Brooks Auger did last night. Not this year. It was kind of reminiscent in some respects of 2021. You know, when you had guys that had elite stuff and you're like, you know what? You want to dance, big boy? Here's the music, you know? And I thought Brooks, and maybe Justin Parker's a part of this, right, with the game plan. It's like, hey, he'll pound his own. If they hit it out of the ballpark, they do. Bottom of third. And again, Riley Maddux kind of matching. Wasn't as a pitch efficient as Brooks, which is crazy considering the amount of strikeouts that that Brooks had. But Maddux is hanging in there with it. And so he gets Kohler to ground out to second. Powell then strikes out looking, and Stevens strikes out looking. Of course, no one Stevens batting in the nine hole as a DH last night. Lefty on righty, just trying to get him some at-bats, right? But again, through three innings, the first time through the order for both teams, there's no hits. The only base runner that's been had is a Mississippi State guy that reaches on an error on the Hunter Hines play. All right, top of four, Hill flies out the center. He actually hit that ball well again. Fisher strikes out swinging on three pitches, and then Ross flies out to left field. So, again, very pitch-efficient inning for Brooks. And you start thinking now, okay, we've gotten through four. We're in a scoreless ball game. At this point, it's a no-hitter, right? Brooks with a no-hitter through four, a perfect game through four. And now you think, hey, if we can get one or two more from him, got a good chance here. And, again, give Maddux credit.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He counterpunches well here. Chan strikes out swinging. It's kind of a rarity to see Bryce Chan strike out twice in the game, but he didn't have a great night offensively, perhaps tonight. Marshawn then grounds out the first unassisted. There was a lot of ground outs from David. We've got to get David going. Jordan lines out to left field and, again, hit that ball really well. Off the bat, you thought it might have a chance, but it didn't. So we head to the fifth inning here. And, again, neither team with a base hit. Well, that changes the first pitch of the fifth. Will Furness homers to center field. And Connor Hyzak just kind of maybe mistimed the jump by, like, just like, you know, a quarter of a second maybe. I mean, and he still had it go off his glove. And he was upset. He was upset. And you want to keep that ball in the yard. It was a big emotional lift for Ole Miss, too, because I think we all felt like at this point, you know, both of these pitchers probably can't go the distance. But with both guys locked in like this, runs are going to come at a premium. Grofton flies out to center. Hughes flies out to left center. And then Uttermark strikes out swinging. And again, that home run at Pearl was an absolute fluke. I'll say it again. Bottom of fifth. State has a chance here, but we kind of put the rally together with two outs. Hines grounds out to the third baseman. Hyzak flies out to right field. And I really, the first couple of at-bats from Connor, number one, he was a surprise starter for me. But also, too, he looked really, really, timing-wise, he looked off. He chased a slider down in his zone, just didn't see it well. And then here he kind of flies out. It's kind of a can of corn to right field. And then Imani comes up on a full count, gets ahead 3-0 in his count, takes a strike, fouls the ball off, and then he pulls the ball hard down the line and left. The foul ball that preceded the hit was also hit really well. So he turns on this, and the next thing you know, Logan Kohler is hit by the pitch. You get runners at first and second. And then Joe Powell comes up, who has been absolutely red hot for Mississippi State. And then there's a wild pitch that allows both runners to come up, to move up. And so you're thinking, hey, a base hit here, we've got the lead. That's not what happens. We get a ground out to shortstop. It's a great opportunity for State there that we didn't cash in on. And again, that's not an indictment on Joe Powell, who has carried us at times. You raise your hand if you thought that was going to happen back in February, right? And so, again, it's a 1-0 ball game as we get to the sixth here. And Brooks did what a lot of great pitchers do. He didn't let the fact that he was pitching with a deficit after he left the ball up get to him. He's like, you know what? It's only one. I'm just going to keep grinding here knowing my guys are going to come through. Well, he gets Randle to strike out swinging on three pitches. Bergston strikes out swinging on four. And then Hill singles through the left side. The ball gets through there, and Chance bobbles it coming to pick it up. And Hill decides to, you know, I'm going to take a big turn here. We hustle the ball in, and Imani, not really known for his arm, but he's made a couple of really big relay throws. You forget in that game against Georgia on the play with Johnny Long, we throw the guy out. It was Imani on the relay there. And here it is again, not nearly as dramatic, but he gets Hill. And great tag by Hunter Hines on the backside of this thing. And it was pretty obvious when you saw it. They called him out, and, of course, all the Ole Miss people were upset. And, of course, you review it. But Hines does a great job getting him on the helmet as he's coming in. And then, you know, he's got to do some fancy footwork to kind of get out of that. As LSU just blew an opportunity to blow this game open with Kentucky. Still 1-0. Had the bases loaded and couldn't get any more out of it. But nevertheless, we get out of there. Base running blunder, obviously, for Ole Miss. Bottom of six. Stevens grounds out to the second baseman. Chance then grounds out to third. Marshawn singles off the pitcher. And that proves to be Mississippi State's second base hit of this ballgame. And then Marshawn goes all the way around the third, and you know, his hustle is unparalleled. I mean, it really is. They kept trying to pick him off because they know he's going to try to take a bag to get in scoring position for Jordan. And Mercy goes all the way around to third. It's a close play over there, closer than I expected, but Mercy gets in easy. And so now the tying runs at third with two outs, and Jordan flies out to center field and, again, struck the ball well. You know, I mean, really, really, really hit it well. Just didn't work out for us. It's true. So back-to-back innings there, the Bulldogs leave the tying run on base. It's tough. It is. And it's been games like this. I know how you guys are. You start thinking, man, we're going to let this thing get away and lose 1-0. Sure. Our top of seventh, Brooks Auger still in the ballgame. Fisher pops up to the third baseman. Roston singles to left center. The only hit of the night for Ole Miss that didn't have some drama with it, right? Because the Furnace hit gets out of the ballpark, and then the Hill hit ends up being, an out. You get the single, but then you're out, right? It's tough. So Ross singles to the left side. Furnace then strikes out swinging, and Groff strikes out swinging. And again, we just have Ethan Groff's number. All right, bottom of the seventh here, the first time in a while that State doesn't have some traffic on the bases. Bottom of the seventh, Hines grounds out the first. Isaac then strikes out swinging, and then Larry grounds out to third base. And so that's 4, 5, and 6 for you. And the way things have gone as of late, that's been the group you're kind of counting on, right? And so we get to the eighth here. And again, Brooks is just still in there just kind of mowing people down. Hughes flies out to center. Udemark strikes out swinging again. Randall then fouls out to the pitcher. How many times do we call that? You got Brooks Auger just kind of in his feelings and kind of feeling it, and he calls off the catcher. It's like, I got this. You got to stay back. You don't see that happen. You really don't want your pitcher catching that pop fly on the infield. But Brooks just kind of taking charge, just kind of showed the night he was having, how he was feeling. All right, bottom of the eighth, State again with some opportunities here. Kohler singles back up the middle. And then Powell flies out to right, but we're able to basically get the benefit of a bunt here because it is a well pitch, and now Kohler's at second base. And now you've got the tying run in scoring position with less than two outs. And give Liam Dahl a lot of credit here. He gets Poigman strikeout swinging and Chance strikeout swinging. And again, you just don't see multiple Ks very often from Bryce Chance in a ball game. Well, you did last night. And he's a guy nowadays you have to kind of game plan for. Simple as that. Not that he's always going to, hit a tank on you or be a game changer, but he's a rally starter. And you can't let him get on base. You just can't. Our top of nine, we bring in Tyson Harden, and we end up walking Birch. And right here, I'm thinking the last thing we're going to do here is give up an insurance run here in the ninth. They play it the right way, though, because that's how many times do you see it happen in the ninth inning? You walk the leadoff hitter. He comes around and scores 771,000% of the time. Hill then gets the sack bunt down, moves him into scoring position. And then we intentionally walk Fisher. I like the move, but it sets up a more favorable matchup, and it puts the double play in order. And Ross pops up to right field, and the runners can't go. It's very shallow fly to right field there. So it sets up a righty-lefty matchup. Instead of us going through with that, we do what good baseball people do. We go get Tyler Davis to face the left-hander, and he gets Furnace to strike out looking. And it absolutely painted that third strike there. And Furness didn't like it, but it was absolutely a strike. Our bottom of nine, this is when the ghosts show up. And that's one of those things, too. I remember when David Wells and Roger Clemens were with the Yankees, they would always go out to the trophies of the bust out there, like of Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and people like that. And they always go out there and pay homage to the Yankees. And it's interesting. I remember Roger Clemens said, my job is to keep my team in the game until the ghosts show up. That's kind of what happened last night. Brooks Auger just keeps Mississippi State in the game until some maroon magic can happen. And lo and behold, what happens? They walk David Mershon, probably the last guy you want to walk because of who's behind him, but also he's such an irritant on the base paths. And I felt like when we got Mercy on, I was like, you know what? Perhaps the baseball gods are watching. Lo and behold, Mershon goes to second on a pass ball. And now I'm confident that they are. You're like, you know what? You make two big critical mistakes like that in a one-run ball game in the ninth inning, you deserve to lose. You can't sit here and talk about adversity, about overcoming adversity when you are the source of said adversity. They give Mershon credit. Obviously, it wasn't a four-pitch walk. He had to get up there and battle and work the count. He didn't chase. But now he's at second base with nobody out. So now the tying run is in scoring position with nobody out. And we have 3, 4, and 5 coming up. And you got to think at some point somebody's going to get him, right? And again, give Riley Maddux a lot of credit for what he did in this ballgame. Probably deserved a better fate. But there was a lot of comments on our message board and certainly on social media that Brooks Auger deserved a better fate too when he left the ballgame down 1-0 after an absolutely classic performance. But DJ goes down swinging here, and you hated it because you just kind of felt like anything in the green grass in the outfield is going to score the run. And then Hines grounds out the first. And what's interesting, too, Mershon takes off for third here. And I'm sure that's a green go call just from him. If he gets thrown out there, Lamonis probably just has an absolute conniption. And rightfully so, because, again, you have a left-handed hitter up. So you're basically giving the catcher a free throwing lane. Mershon takes off. Hines puts a ball in play here. Grounds out, but now Mercy's at third. And the fact that they've had a couple of wild pitches, they've had a pass ball, you think anything can happen here. When the tying runs 90 feet away from home, you can score in a variety of ways. And Hunter Hysack said, "I know a way." He gets a first pitch fastball, and he hits it deep into the Hoover night and into the Ole Miss bullpen, and Mississippi State walks it off. And as I joke with our fans who were walking down, everybody's excited, right? Everybody's excited. And so you're walking down for postgame, and everybody wants to high five. And I was like, we had it all along. I never doubted it for 1 second. I did doubt it. But it's one of those things, too. You kept thinking, we honestly put ourselves in more scoring opportunities than they did. And you just had to feel at some point somebody was going to come through. And again, Connor Hysack has been our best player in SEC play, especially on the clutch side of things. Just doing an absolutely outstanding job for Mississippi State baseball. Let's look inside the numbers here. This segment, looking inside the numbers here, brought to you by Close with Blair. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Guys, over 20 years of experience. Nobody stays in any industry for 20-plus years by accident. You got to get loans closed. Thus the name Close with Blair. Right, Blair now works at Priority One Mortgage, has taken that same level of service with him. We've had several Bonegard listeners that have closed loans with him. You could be the next, whether you're looking for a game day condo, your first home. Maybe it's a life reset for you. Maybe you need to refinance. Maybe you got to consolidate some debt, or maybe you're just in a situation where, you know what, I got to buy a new house, Steve. Maybe I've had a relationship change. Maybe I've had a job change. Listen, let me take one thing off your plate. It's the mortgage part of it. Call Blair at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. You know, a lot of people have dreamed of having that game day condo, right? It may be more affordable than you think, truthfully. Give Blair a call and say, you know what, Blair, this is what we're thinking. What do you think? If anybody can get it done and get it done in a way that's not a negative situation for you, it's Blair Chandler. Absolutely Blair Chandler. All right, so inside the numbers here, looking back at our box score here, there's not a lot to report, right? We all saw the same game, and it's so interesting. So many of you went on to bed. I had people texting me this morning, I can't believe we won. I can't believe you went to sleep, you know? So looking at the Mississippi State side, Bryce Chance goes 0-for-4 with 3 Ks in the ballgame. Again, that's a rarity. I look for Bryce to get back on track today, and he's just too good a hitter, you know? But they had a good game plan against him. Mercy, of course, Dave Mershon goes 1-for-3 and also has the big walk there. Of course, his single goes off of Riley Maddux. Dakota Jordan goes 0-for-4 with 1 strikeout and hit 3 balls really well. Hunter Hines goes 0-for-4. Connor Hysack goes 1-for-4, and you might have heard a big hit there. So you know, your 3, 4, and 5 guys and go 1-for-12. We're going to have to get better production from that group. Yes, we won. But we've got to get better production. Imani Larry 1-for-3, Logan Kohler 1-for-2, Joe Powell 0-for-3, Nolan Stevens 0-for-2, Ethan Pulliam, who pinch hit for Stevens late, 0-for-1. Let's talk a little bit about pitching here. And again, tip of the cap to Riley Maddux. I know that doesn't mean much, you know, you want to continue playing. But Ole Miss's Riley Maddux goes 7 innings pitch, 3 hits, no runs, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts. That'll typically get it done. The problem with that is it's kind of like having a queen high full house. There may be somebody out there with a king, and there was. The Diamond King last night was Brooks Auger, who goes 8 innings pitch, 3 hits, 1 run, the solo home run, the only one, 13 strikeouts, no walks. Guys, he threw 12 balls. Last night, like the initial report was 8, and I get back and do my math, it was 12. I don't know that I have ever in my life at any level, seen a starting pitcher work that deep into a ball game and have more strikeouts than balls thrown. Are you kidding me? It's nuts. It's the moments like that make you think, you know what? This team is capable of some pretty cool things. Maybe there is a little magic in this team. and just keep waiting for this offense to catch fire. We hadn't been very good offensively the last 2 weeks. Got to figure that part of it out. Tyson Harden comes in, goes two-thirds of an inning, actually walks a couple guys. He really was not, and one of those was intentional. He wasn't at his best last night, but he also was able to come back. He could probably come back and throw today. Tyler Davis credited with the win. Now 5-0 on the year. Faces just the one hitter and gets a strikeout. Then, of course, in the bottom half of that inning, State gets the walk-off. And how incredible is it that Tyler Davis, the former VCU Ram, gets the win in a game where Connor Hyzak, his friend and teammate from VCU, hits the game-winning home run? How about that? That's a nice little aside there, right? Pretty interesting stuff, for sure. Liam Dahl is tagged with a loss. He's not 3-4 on the year. Good pitcher, but you know, when you throw a center cut fastball in that situation, that is more about emotion than it is execution. And you're just trying to get a game over. Listen, I get it. It's a big ballpark like that. But when you go challenge a guy like that, even though he's been on the shelf for a little bit, you're asking for trouble. And there's no way that a center cut fastball is what they called in that situation. Especially because a base hit ties the ball game, right? You're trying to get a swing and miss, trying to get a foul ball, trying to get under a barrel, get a ground ball, perhaps get the game over. You're not challenging a guy with a fastball right down the heart of the plate. That just, you know, there's no way that that's what Bianco called, but that's what got thrown. And a hit that we'll never forget. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy to see that whole thing unfold there. I know many of you are probably feeling like I did, and there's some people doing some yard work out here. So every time I go to a hotel, it's like we're constantly making racket. Constantly. You can't hardly get anything done during the day. The employees make all the noise during the day. The residents or the hotel stay folks like me make all the noise at night. And here I am making noise in my room, of course, adding to the noise pollution of this fine facility. But all that understood, Mississippi State wins the game. That ends the run for Ole Miss. They are not eligible for the NCAA tournament because they did not finish with at least one game over 500. We all knew coming into this thing, and again, these people that were out here forecasting that Ole Miss might make it, I have no idea what they're smoking. And I don't want to try it either, to be quite honest with you. It's absolutely ludicrous. But now it's a moot point. And so we're going to kind of take a look back and see, hey, what's next, right? What's next, right? What's next for Mississippi State? What's next for Ole Miss is everybody gets ready to go out for summer baseball. You know, and then, of course, had that end of the year meeting with Keith Carter. And again, the talk around Hoover is that Bianco is going to be back. That's the talk around here. So we'll see. I mean, you never know what's going to happen with this stuff. But I understand it would be a very, very expensive thing. And of course, with this this lawsuit about to be settled, it's going to cost everybody, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's going to be a factor, I think, in hiring decisions and firing decisions kind of going forward. And not to mention, too, listen, I know it's Ole Miss, right? Like anything, you know, the only thing that compares to good news in Starkville is bad news in Oxford, right? But I think we really want Mike Bianco to stay there. We've kind of had his number the last decade. But not in it from maybe perhaps not more a self-serving standpoint. Mike Bianco was doing a great job at Ole Miss. There was no baseball tradition at Ole Miss. Prior to Mike Bianco. Yeah, they'd had a couple good teams every now and again. But, guys, I remember going there in the 80s. They had chicken wire on the fence. Seriously. Think about that for a second. And there was not a commitment to baseball, truly, at Ole Miss until Mike Bianco got there. And he's taken them to heights, unprecedented heights. And, hey, does that mean he gets to stay forever and post-mediocre seasons? Absolutely not. But just 2 years removed from a national championship. We ran all these numbers last year. It's never happened in the history of college baseball. Never. That a guy that wins a national championship is fired 2 years removed from said national championship. So if Ole Miss fires him, and maybe they call it a retirement, that would be the first in the history of college baseball. All right, let's look back at yesterday's action from the SEC tournament brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and they love us right back. They've been serving this great fan base for many, many years. I am a big proponent to shop, eat local whenever I can. And even if you can't make it to town, you can still support a great Starkville business, of course, by ordering online. at campusbookmart.net. And being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. And again, we're going to be taking some trips this summer. Everybody needs some fresh Mississippi State gear. Mom, buy something for yourself. Dad doesn't get enough stuff, right? I mean, I'm just going to say it on behalf of all the dads out there. We don't get treated as well as we should. I'm just going to just say it. There's parts of us that want to be spoiled. Father's Day is coming up. You're going to buy us a pair of socks, maybe a 3-pack of underwear or something, and you're going to call it a job done. But I'm going to encourage you to do something special for Dad this year, and he wants more Mississippi State merchandise. Be sure and take care of that for dear old Dad. Again, that's campusbookmart.net, promo code BSR. All right, so interesting day. We got some help in the morning as LSU takes down Georgia. We expected that to happen. I didn't think the Georgia offense translated well to the big park here at Hoover. You know, they play in that silo of a stadium at Foley Field. It is very conducive for home runs. It's kind of a joke in many respects. And so you saw a ton of baseballs elevated by Georgia yesterday that were nowhere near the warning track. It was not even close. And they're an offense that is built on home runs. It's just kind of how it is. You know, they want to hit the big fly. They didn't hit it here. 9-1 winners. And so, again, as we mentioned on the show, that gives LSU the opportunity to have some upward mobility to move from 30 in the RPI to, I think, 25, which makes those two wins of Mississippi State quad one wins. So now Mississippi State has 14. And as we record the show right now, LSU leading Kentucky 2-0. So the deeper LSU goes, the better it is for Mississippi State. It's not a major change in the RPI, but every point that we can get at this point is significant. We needed Alabama to come through for us. It wasn't a major thing, but they didn't. South Carolina wins that game 10-5. What helps us there is the fact that Alabama lost two games to Mississippi State. So if they beat South Carolina, then that's some RPI points for us as well. We didn't play South Carolina, so them winning does not help us in any way whatsoever. State also, a little bit of help here with Vandy moving up in the RPI because they beat Florida 6-3. And if you're Florida, I know you've got that number one strength of schedule, but you didn't do what you needed to do. It's going to be a tough sell to get Florida in. Of course, you remember we started the day with five teams that were 13-17 in the SEC, and then Alabama and Florida both lose. We're not going to get everybody in, but Alabama ahead of Florida in the RPI. I think Alabama is in. I think Florida is out. Of course, Ole Miss's season ends 2-1 in very dramatic fashion with Mississippi State. It's pretty crazy to go back and think about that. Because how many times you watch a game or you go to a game and really nothing remarkable happens, right? You may win a game and it's just kind of another day. Right. And you're like, okay, we won the ball game. How many times do you see something happen like that that you'll likely remember forever? I mean, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, you go to games, you watch games on TV, and you're like, okay, we won. But let's be honest about that. I would say the majority of our fan base expected us to lose right there. Or maybe your best case scenario is you get a base hit and you drive in Mershon, or you get a wild pitch and you tie the game and you go into extras, which is something we wanted to avoid. But instead, you get a walk-off home run. And if you haven't heard Jim Ellis's call, it will give you chills. It's very special. If you find a way to listen to David Kellum's call, then it will it'll give you a chuckle. You know, they could not wait to get out of there. They absolutely could not wait to get out of there. But, yeah, a very eventful day here. So let's look for today to see what our rooting interest is within the Southeastern Conference. Of course, you're going to have some other teams like Oklahoma State will play today. We'd love to see them lose. Don't think they're going to, but that would help Mississippi State. But, of course, LSU and Kentucky. And, again, as I record the show, LSU leads 2-0 in this ballgame. Kentucky's a tough team. They're not going to just give up there, right? South Carolina and Arkansas are going to be our second game of the day. We hold a win over Arkansas. We didn't play South Carolina, so what helps Mississippi State is Arkansas, not to mention perhaps another loss by South Carolina may allow us to move ahead of them with Arkansas's RPI where it is. I don't know how much downward mobility. Of course, South Carolina can't host. And so as a result, it's really just kind of a matter of exercise, right? You just want to get the RPI as high as you possibly can. But Mark Etheridge, I thought, made a great point, too. They didn't go to the quad system and then the KPI to simply avoid that, right? The RPI is a flawed formula. And it's the best thing we have, but even with that, it's flawed. And so KPI would have Mississippi State hosting. And so you got to think they're not just going to, hey, we're going to go quad one. Oh, Mississippi State's got 14 quad one wins, which is among the best in the country. And so you can't just ignore that. I think that's helpful. Vanderbilt and Tennessee, we didn't play Tennessee. We have two wins over Vanderbilt. So your rooting interest is obvious. You want Vanderbilt to win this game. And again, it doesn't give you a ton of upper mobility, but the more teams that you beat that have an RPI in the top 25, the better off you're going to be. So Tennessee win gives us nothing. Vanderbilt win helps us a little bit. So those are your rooting interest: LSU, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt, because State has five wins against those teams and did not play Kentucky, South Carolina, or Tennessee. So it's pretty easy in that respect. You want as many of the teams that you beat to continue to win games, because that continues to pull you upwards. That's what we want. And, of course, Mississippi State, Texas A&M tonight, we can kind of take matters into our own hands. You win this game tonight, I don't think anything else matters. I think you win tonight, lose the next two, I don't think it knocks you out of hosting. As it stands today, as someone so astutely pointed out to me, Mississippi State was 17-13 in the regular season in true SEC games. But now you have 19 wins over SEC opponents, and the SEC is the number one RPI conference in the country. And so the only teams that have more SEC wins are teams that are projected to be top eight national seeds. And so when you begin to think about the strength of this conference, Mississippi State's resume continues to get better. But if we had lost last night, you exhaust all hope. There's no way that you're going to be in a hosting conversation had you lost to Ole Miss. You win tonight against Texas A&M, who's currently the number one RPI team in the country. Well, that's going to, number one, get you back in the top 20. But again, you start adding all these, get a little help around here, then you feel a whole lot better about where things stand. And again, even if somebody's – only one team's going to win this thing, right? And so just about everybody else, other than perhaps the team that makes the unless you have two teams kind of sweep their way into Sunday, everybody's going to take at least one loss. And everybody but two teams is going to have two losses other than the teams that got eliminated. But I joked with Lamontis last night. I said, hey, this is a Lamontis record for Hoover. He looked at me and grinned. He goes, what you got today, Steve? And I said, well, we're going to get to play three games in Hoover for the first time since you've been here. And he goes, well, we were here for 3 days and 21. I said, yeah, because you had a bye, you know. And so we have put ourselves in a position to continue to build a postseason resume. And again, there is a ton of confidence around this league that we're going to get six teams in. Well, that means Georgia and Florida both, Georgia and Mississippi State both, get into hosting. You know, we're in the tournament, but they do think we're going to get six host spots. And I think that's probably the case, but you know, it would not hurt us to see some shakeup over in the ACC as well. It truly would. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google it. And when you do, their Facebook page is going to come up, and you can peruse the pictures on their Facebook page and see all the fine amenities that are available to you when you book there, whether you're bringing a work group to the Golden Triangle, perhaps a friend group, a family group. There's no better place to stay than a Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just 5 minutes away from the beautiful Mississippi State campus, but tucked away kind of neatly and quietly, kind of off the beaten path here a little bit. It's the renovated former country club clubhouse, that huge back porch area, got a fire pit outside, a full service kitchen. So you can go to a local grocery store and just stock up and you can cook all weekend, right? Super. Also got the wet bar there. Again, five bedrooms, two baths, plenty of room for everybody to kind of spread out, but some common areas where you can kind of sit and enjoy each other or perhaps get some work done. And then everybody can kind of retreat, you know, to their own quarters at night when it's time to go to bed. There's not a better place to stay in the greater Starkville area than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google that, you're going to have some booking options come up. You're going to have Airbnb, right? You're going to have VRBO. And if you want to go that route, that's perfectly fine with us. But if you want to save some money, I've got a promo code for you. If you book through the Evolve website, use promo code BSR10. That saves you 10% off your stay. Now, you could pay more for the same experience, and maybe you have it like that. I don't. I like to save money as often as I can. And so just by being a listener of the show, we'll give you a discount. BSR10, 10% off your stay at the Stars Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, let's take a look at what yesterday's results did to the RPI. Mississippi State moves up to 21 in the RPI. Now, yes, 21 is the number next to your name. That understood. There are a few teams ahead of us that are not going to be able to host. And that's important to consider. Because you look in, you think, well, we want to be in the teens. When you begin to break down the resumes of these squads, we are in the teens as far as contenders to host. So Duke is currently one spot ahead of Mississippi State at 20. The Bulldogs are at 21. We actually dropped a little bit early on in the day. The win over Georgia, their RPI dipped a little bit. And so while LSU gave us those two more quad one wins, Georgia dropped in the RPI. And so the net change in the RPI wasn't necessarily a positive. And then you have Vanderbilt beating Alabama. So we dropped a little bit, but Alabama still maintains a spot ahead, a couple spots ahead of us. But Duke, again, 16-14 in the ACC with a RPI of 20 and strength of schedule of 20. I still don't think Duke hosts. I know that they want to host and they feel like they should host. I don't think that's going to be the case. But Mississippi State and Duke right there, basically similar resumes. State one game better overall at 37-19. Duke 36-18. Strength of schedule, 20 for Duke, 22 in favor of Mississippi State. But the thing that I go back to, and we did lose a quad one win somewhere overnight. I'd have to go back and look at that. But 13-11 against the quad one, where Duke is 11-12. So again, it's negligible in many respects, but there's metrics that favor each. Now, South Carolina is 19 in the RPI. They have no chance to host. Zero. So you can remove them from the equation. That moves, of course, State in the top 20. Alabama, just ahead of them at 18, have no chance to host. Right? So all of a sudden, you start breaking this thing down. And you say, okay, well, Steve, now, if you remove those two, that puts State at 19 among the 16 resumes that are still being discussed to potentially host. Then there's Oklahoma State. And let's pull this up together. Let me do this right now. We'll pull up the Big 12 bracket and kind of give you your rooting interest here. Oklahoma State's right there at 17, and I could make a case that Oklahoma State deserves to host over Mississippi State. I could make the same case for State. Oklahoma State is 36-16 overall with a strength of schedule of 32. So State is better in both of those metrics. Now, they won 19 games in the Big 12. Do 19 wins in the Big 12 match up with 17 in the SEC? Well, I would say no. But in addition to that, too, it's not just 17 SEC wins. You had 17 true SEC weekend wins, but you add in these two wins over Ole Miss, Mississippi State, now with 19 wins over SEC opponents, which is the top RPI conference, I could make the case that State should get in over Oklahoma State. East Carolina has now dropped to 16. But if memory serves me correct, East Carolina's AD is on the selection committee. And I think there's probably some brokering that goes on behind the scenes. And so I think ECU, if you start thinking, ECU is probably going to get a host site. Because everybody's going to say, well, you can't blame them for their league. They go 41-13. They do have that loud series win over North Carolina. That's something to consider. But I have kind of become to accept the fact that even though I don't think ECU should host, I think they're going to. That's just my feel, okay? We'll see. Be nice to see them lose. They were losing yesterday to Rice and came back and scored a ton of runs to win it. But all right, the Big 12 tournament kind of shaking through yesterday's action. Kansas beats Kansas State 2-1. I think Kansas State's in danger not making the tournament. TCU, 5-2 winners over West Virginia. Central Florida beat Cincinnati 6-5. And then Texas Tech beat Texas 6-4. Now, we're going to root for Texas Tech, not just because of Mike Leach, because Texas Tech tonight plays a night game against Oklahoma State. And so that's a 10-2 matchup. But if Texas Tech can beat Texas, they can beat Oklahoma State. Now, we'll see what the pitching matchups look like. But We absolutely would love to see Texas Tech beat Oklahoma State. Now, that won't end the tournament, but that would, if State wins tonight, I don't think there's any question we're in good shape, but it wouldn't hurt us to see Oklahoma State lose. Now, getting back to the RPI here, just kind of seeing who else is kind of right there in front of us with some teams that perhaps we could leapfrog. Okay, Oklahoma's right there at 15. Guys, they're the Big 12 champions. They're going to have a rep on a committee, too. They're going to host. I don't think there's any question. And then you look at NC State, 18-11 in their conference. And again, strength of schedule of four. They just won 32 games, though. And in their record against the Quad 1 is 12-14. I still think NC State gets in. However, they get to host. However, you start thinking about all these teams in the ACC. And you begin to wonder, okay, everybody can't host. It's kind of like the SEC, but I think their tournament likely means a little bit more in that respect. And what I mean by that is because of the fact that there are so many of their teams still vying to host, while we have several in the top 20 in the RPI, not everybody can host. And so yesterday, of course, they do pool play, and then the winners of each pool advance to semifinals. We didn't really get a ton of results yesterday. We needed Virginia Tech to beat Duke. They didn't. So Duke wins 11-8. And so it's a different pod today. You get Virginia and Georgia Tech are playing here, and then Pitt and Wake Forest. And again, Pitt with a 500 record in conference. The thing that I've been told recently is that the committee is reluctant, even for a Power 5 or Power 4, whatever you want to call it these days, they're reluctant to give a team that did not have a winning record in their conference the opportunity to host. And so I don't think Wake hosts in the end. Now, they could make it interesting in making a run in this tournament. But I think, again, that's a team you look at and you start thinking, okay, well, if they can't host, or if they aren't given the opportunity to host, then Mississippi State moves up another spot. Now, interesting, UC Santa Barbara has a 10 RPI. Now, I had somebody last week tell me they're absolutely going to host 10 RPI, even though they've got some terrible games coming up against UNC Riverside. So their RPIs are going to drop, probably drop into the mid to late teens this weekend. Their seating capacity is only about 1,000. They have a very limited press box. And in the past, they've hosted at a remote location that's significantly far from Santa Barbara. And so I had somebody else in the industry tell me yesterday that UCSB hopes to host, but they don't expect to host. That's an interesting discussion, right? Is, yeah, they have a 10 RPI, but if they don't have the facility to host, it's kind of like Fairfield a couple of years ago. Even the Fairfield didn't have lights, right? So you start working through that aspect of it, and you think, okay, if UCSB doesn't host, then that gives you the ability to put Indiana State and ECU in and then open up a spot for another Power 5 team. That's significant. And, of course, Georgia drops just one spot in the RPI yesterday. Indiana State still holding strong there at 9. I don't think there's any question they're going to host. They have been among the leaders in RPI throughout the year. But A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, that's your top five. And so – that chalk is probably going to hold for the most part unless, some upsets happen. But one of them could be Mississippi State taking care of A&M. It's interesting, too, we talk about Kentucky. Kentucky has the number three RPI right now, but people are projecting them to be the number one overall seed in the tournament. And one of the things that they're pointing to is quad one wins. They have 21 quad one wins, which is a very gaudy number, right? Of course, you win two over Arkansas, you win a series, against Georgia and others, you feel really good about where they stand. But if that's the criteria that gives Kentucky the nod over Arkansas and A&M, it makes me wonder, where will RPI be measured in the discussions? Because if it's a straight RPI discussion, then A&M should be the number one overall seed. They're the top RPI team, number one in some of the polls. Right? And then Arkansas, of course, number two in the RPI. Well, Kentucky beats Arkansas head-to-head, but Arkansas has four more wins than Kentucky does. But everybody is saying Kentucky is vying for the number one seed. If they lose today, I think that's probably out. I don't know that you want to be number one. Tennessee is another team, of course, that people are saying could be a number one seed. with Tennessee 5 in the RPI. So Tennessee is going to leapfrog over Carolina, Kentucky, Arkansas, and A&M, and people, again, kind of point to the quad system. Well, if we're going to go off quad one and KPI, then that favors Mississippi State, too. If Tennessee or Kentucky are going to be the number one seed, then you would think, okay, well, if that's truly the case, then quad one wins matter, and they should, then Mississippi State deserves to host. Now, of course, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but when I began to kind of work through these top contenders here, you know what North Carolina's record is against the quad one? 8-8. They've only played 16 games against quad one opponents. Texas A&M has played 28. Yeah, it's the power of the SEC. Let's get a little deeper. Florida State. A lot of people are like, hey, maybe Florida State is back. Their record against the top 25, the quad ones, 6-7. Indiana State, 4-6. UC Santa Barbara, 3-3. Wake Forest, and again, 11 in the RPI. And then people are saying they're not going to host because they were 15-15 in the ACC. Well, here's another factor against them. They're 7-13 against quad one teams. So how could you give a Wake Forest team the opportunity to host that finished 500 in their conference when Mississippi State was two games over and State has nearly twice as many quad one wins? Yeah, in a comparable number of games. So resume to resume, Wake Forest is not close to Mississippi State. Virginia, let's talk about them a little bit. 40-14 overall with a strength of schedule of 27, which is behind Mississippi State. They do have more wins, but against a weaker conference, they're 8-7. So Mississippi State's played, what, 24, 25 games against quad one teams? They've played 15. You know, how do you do in your conference and how do you do against some of the best teams in the conference or in the country? And that's a benefit to Mississippi State because of the fact we play in the best conference in America. Guys, Oregon State has played just 6 games against quad one opponents, just 6, and they're 3-3. It's not like they're 5-1, they're 3-3. But they're going to host because geography always plays a factor. You're going to have somebody out west. It's true, but there's not a ton of Western teams that are going to make the tournament. And so let's say you do Oregon State and you do Oklahoma. Can you accommodate everybody there? Probably. We talked about NC State, right? One quick thing at their quad one wins here. And again, they're ahead of State in the RPI. They are, and they finished second in the Big 12, which is, you know, still, it's not an insignificant accomplishment by any stretch, but a 12-14 record against quad one. Mississippi State's better. Their resumes and somewhat are comparable, but again, I look at this, you know, Mississippi State has won 5 more games than NC State has and has a winning record, 13-11 against quad one, where NC State's 12-14, and people are projecting the host. Oklahoma, again, I think they're a very, very solid hosting team, 10 strength of schedule and 11-6 against quad one opponents. East Carolina, 5-2 against quad one. And so you start thinking about mid-majors, even though I know East Carolina's RPI is going to drop in the next couple days. I'm really, if they got the facility to host and it's, you know, it's good enough, I think East Carolina, Indiana State are in. If what we're being told about UCSB is correct, I think that's going to be your two mid-majors. And then, of course, you know, Oklahoma State, 9-11 against quad one opponents. 36-16 against the 32nd toughest schedule in the country. Mississippi State is 37-19 against the 22nd best schedule in the conference in the country. And State has, again, 4 more quad one wins. Alabama, of course, can't host. South Carolina can't host. And I don't think Duke will. And again, Duke 36-18. Very, very comparable resume to Mississippi State. Really, the separator is that Duke is State's one game better overall. NC State, 2 spots higher in strength of schedule. But that's going to change today for State as we play A&M. We might actually pull even. But State's 2 games over 500 against quad ones, while Duke is a spot lower. They're a game under 500. And so I share that to tell you this. Don't just think it's all going to be RPI. There's a lot of people out there that's their projections are all based on RPI. And some of that is really based out of ignorance. And I don't mean that in a negative connotation. None of us know for sure how KPI is going to measure in. We don't know the quad one wins. You know, how much weight is that going to carry? But you got to think it matters some, or they wouldn't have added it to the equation. If it was just a matter of, hey, we think RPI is the best evaluator of a team's postseason worthiness, why would you introduce two other factors in the decision? Why would you introduce KPI? Why would you introduce the quad system? Well, you wouldn't. If you were satisfied with the model you had, you wouldn't go out there and add other variables. I think it's a little bit probably presumptuous to think that, hey, since this school is 17 or 18 or a spot or two ahead of a certain school in the RPI, that they're going to host over that other school. You don't introduce other matrices if you don't plan to use them. And I think what that does too is it kind of teaches coaches in the future, hey, this is what you need to do. You know, you need to go out there and schedule. That's the thing about the SEC is, you know, we don't have to go out there and schedule a ton of marquee matchups to get better in the RPI. But I think you should be, I think you should reward teams. They're willing to go out there and play. And again, I think ECU played North Carolina in the series they did. Of course, it was basically a home and home with one neutral site location, and ECU won that. My honest opinion is, and I know we want to grow the game here, I also understand the college business aspect of this. But I don't think that you should have – I think you should have one G5 host per year. That's my feeling about it. I know some would disagree. I know we have some Southern Miss fans that, you know, feel like that they're, you know, the Power Five schools get too much. You know, again, the economics of it suggests that we should be in bigger ballparks. And to be honest with you, I think if you're Southern Miss, and you guys won't like this, but I think if you're host, you need to do it in Biloxi or Pearl. And I understand that negates the home field advantage of it. Well, then just, you know, pack out the parks, right? And I know that's part of the deal too, is we want to limit tickets because we don't want Mississippi State fans or Ole Miss fans or LSU fans to show up and take over our ballpark. I get that aspect of it. But this is the NCAA tournament, right? And people forget, we used to not even play the regionals on campus. We used to play district tournaments. And Mississippi State would have to go to Gastonia, North Carolina to play in the District 3 tournament. And so it was a neutral site thing. And they've enabled us to bring this thing to campus, which, of course, has been very good money-wise because a lot of people weren't going to travel to Gastonia. It was great for the Gastonia economy. It wasn't great for local economies. But when you expanded and went from 48 to 16 to 64 teams, it enabled more schools to be able to host. And so at what point do we say that's enough? You know, the bottom line is we've got a lot of people. These are minor conferences, and I understand their vote counts just as much as ours do. But it shouldn't. You said, but Steve, how could you say that? Well, we contribute more to college baseball. It's that simple. Yeah, occasionally you do have Coastal Carolina. Occasionally you do have Fresno State win. Your Fresno State, you remember, they got hot late and just went through their conference tournament, got in the field, and then kept rolling with that. Everybody's got an opportunity. But I just don't support, you know, having three or four G5 schools hosting, because we have had some incredibly terrible experiences. And I don't mean from a baseball standpoint. I mean from a fan standpoint. How many of you remember in 14 going down Lafayette, Louisiana? I mean, the press box was a wreck. Many of you couldn't get tickets. You went down there thinking you'd get tickets and there'd be standing room only, and there wasn't. And we go to Southern Miss, and the Southern Miss administration works overtime to keep you guys out of the ballpark. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be something, hey, you're already getting a home field advantage. You shouldn't be able to play God with these tickets, period. And I think having to play down in Biloxi would alleviate some of that. You want to be the one seed? Cool. Let's do it in Biloxi when they can accommodate more fans. So there's more to do down there. I love Hattiesburg. I'm not being negative about Hattiesburg. But I think these facilities have to be able to support the demand of college baseball fans. It should not be a situation where we're going to play keep away. That absolutely does not play in the fair play. And of course, I'm really sorry that these people have sellouts. You know, we don't have sellouts at Mississippi State because we're committed to college baseball and we've built the greatest cathedral in college baseball. All right, let's get ready to get out of here. And listen, if you hadn't done so, go to whenthebottomfalls.com and you can get the newest book, When the Bottom Falls. It's a memoir. And then, of course, all my sports titles are there. And very, very soon, you're going to be able to pre-order The Dude. Just three chapters left, guys. That's it. That's all we got left. And hey, give my wife, Dana, a call at 662-268-7601 and set up your time to float. I know a lot of you are like, Steve, I don't I don't know what it all means. You can go to truerest.com, but better yet, just call Dana. She can kind of walk you through it. She's a registered nurse. And so if you have questions about certain medical conditions, would floating help you? She is going to be able to provide you that information. Follow us on Facebook, of course, on Instagram. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have come and absolutely loved it. Many of you have signed up to be members. We do have memberships, which enables you to float at a discount on a more regular basis. But yeah, floating has changed my life and really reduced the anxiety and the depression in my life, just being able to go kind of float and kind of reset, and maybe to work for you too. Again, it's True Rest of Starkville. All right, let's get out of here. I'm going to post a show, and I'm going to go to Hoover, and I'm just down the street from the ballpark, and I'm going to go over to the Hoover Met and watch some college baseball today. I hope to see you guys out there. But don't forget, we're the last game again tonight, and it's important to understand things don't always run on schedule, right? And pretty good yesterday, but everybody's like, what time do we play? Well, you know, there's three games for 4 hours, and you never know what's going to happen. So hopefully Bulldogs can get a win tonight. I think it's certainly possible. We just got to be able to navigate through the first third of that order. And yeah, I know Justin Parker will have a good game plan, especially with this bigger ballpark. And you know, there's some balls that would be out of Bluebell Park that won't be out of here. So you hit one deep here, as they used to say in the 90s, you're swinging a Johnson. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So we look forward to bringing you full coverage. Of course, we'll be here for at least 2 more days, and look for all of our coverage free of charge over at jeanspage.com. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Does your employer pay for training or education that could help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.